Blog Talk Radio.
Of colonialism and imperialism. And those of us who understand all the wars and the continuous need for war by the capitalist imperialist structure understand that this is just yet another public bum rush to judgment. So without further ado, we're going to start off this evening. As usual, Ralph Pointer, are you in the house?
Yes, I am in the house, Sister Betty, and those listening. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to tell you what I believe. The overriding element in every situation or circumstance in a black life is racism. Birth, elementary school, housing, health, food, etc. Black lives have never mattered except during slavery and other circumstances where money is being made by our neighbors for others. The modern death penalty, 80% black, move lynching indoors. The police as the army of occupation have taken lynching outside again. The lynch mob is the racist system, including the courts and the media, and because the lives of our heroes and sheroes who once protected us in our community do not matter to us, the people. Our political prisoners are now dying in captivity. They are tortured and isolated. Only armed struggle can recreate our image in our own minds as well as the minds of others. Wake up. Now is the time. And I repeat this every week. To make people understand our circumstance and the circumstance of people who fought to make our lives in our communities better. They are our political prisoners. And we must do a better job of bringing this issue to the public, to our public, to real progressive people who matter. Now, the news, we're talking about Syria and bum rush of the American people, and that's all you hear about, supposedly, who did this? And these are the why questions that Americans do not ask, the who questions that Americans do not ask. And as our brother Malcolm X said, we've been bamboozled. And I'm going to get right into the relevant bamboozlement, if there is such a word, that's happening today. We see that the young man, for the first time, a rapper, got an award that was great. And Kendrick, it is his name, is Kendrick, and I'm looking at my notes, and I don't seem to have it here. Kendrick Lamar received an award recently, and that is the talk of the town, how this young man got his award and how important it is. Well, I tell you, it is not so important. Kendrick Lamar used poetry rap poetry, to talk about issues. But one of the things that I noticed that he said was that the American education system has moved forward. How far forward we have come. When he went to a school in North Bergen, New Jersey, and all I could think of was that school in North Bergen wasn't so far from East Orange, where one of our finest young teachers wrote a letter of support, asked her students' parents if they could write to talk to Mumia Abu-Jamal, and she was removed from the system. How far have we come? I'm going to see if I can get an opportunity to talk to Kendrick Lamar to see if he can talk about political prisoners. Obviously, he doesn't know about that. Obviously, he doesn't know about gentrification. How far have we come? How far have we come in education? How far have we come with the prison industrial complex? I submit to Kendrick, for all of his genius with words, there are a few things I would like to ask him to talk about, and that is where we are in America today, which is not an advancement. We are going in the wrong direction. And they use the nice term of gentrification. It's the destruction of communities. It is putting people of color off the reservations. It is miseducating the students of our country. Has he not heard of charter schools? Now, I don't want to criticize too strongly a young man who is obviously talented but is not looking at the real picture, and I blame myself for not being involved in that hip-hop generation. That's where the young people are, to talk to them about the real world. And I'm going to try to change that by getting in touch with a young man, because we are repeating history. We talk about the Tuskegee experiment, where doctors experimented on black people, gave them syphilis just to watch them die, not telling them about it. Well, we see a riot in the Carolinas, in a prison, a terrible prison, where everything wrong went on. What's new? Nothing. We think of Attica, where medical experiments went on. We think of Greenhaven, where medical experiments went on. This is all old news. They changed the names, but it doesn't protect anyone. And so, to the issue of Syria. Well, it's introduced. This is a result of imperialism and capitalism. The lies I would like to hear Kendrick Lamar talk about is who is most outrageous in terms of human conduct, Hitler or Churchill? I say Churchill is responsible for problems that are continuing, Churchill and the British Empire. And one of the problems we have today is the problem in Afghanistan. Well, how did that happen? How did the Khyber pass? What is that all about? What that's about is when the British conquered India, after conquering India, they made sure that no Indian person had a gun, except those people working for the British government, those colonial administrators and armies of occupation made up of Indians. And so those people who had sense enough to get a gun got a gun, and the guns were transported through Afghanistan, through the Khyber Pass. And you see, coming through Afghanistan and the Khyber Pass, that's from, I think it goes way back to the conquering of the Indian people, the trying to get guns, and guns coming over that route. So today, we have that place known where we find some of the finest gunsmiths in the world, family tradition. How did it start? It started with the British Empire conquering people and then telling them they couldn't have guns, they couldn't have rights, they couldn't have guns to enforce their own rights. And so you see, yesterday determines what's happening today. Who did it? Why did they do it? The British Empire, and now we're looking at the American Empire. We're looking at guns in America, Vietnam, and all of the nonsense, Cambodia, the things that they said about these people and these wars, they always made these people and these wars the enemy because they lied to make the American public think that they were somehow in danger of the Vietnamese. I kind of laugh at that. I says, maybe somebody had an in for the government who owned a Chinese restaurant in New York City, and they feared if the Vietnamese restaurateurs came here, it would cut into their business. That was the danger of the Vietnamese. All those people wanted, the only thing they wanted was freedom and for the Americans to get out. They were sick of the imperialism of the Chinese. They were sick of the imperialism of the Japanese. They were sick of the imperialism of the French. They were sick of the imperialism of the Americans. And in the famous words of Ho Chi Minh, 50 years is not too long to fight for freedom. They fought for freedom. They got their freedom. And our people are in jail today. They're in the death camps. And we have to speak out greater. And I will criticize anyone who gets any award who does not speak out on behalf of those people who made their getting of the award possible. They got an award just like Martin Luther King got an award to keep us quiet, just like Obama was made president to keep us quiet. We must stop being quiet. And again, I criticize myself. We are not doing enough to make the question of political prisoners a national question. I'm sorry if I took too long, Sister Betty, because I get emotional about this sort of thing. And so the phone goes back to Sister Betty. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Ralph. And again, wanted to remind people that we need to give a shout-out to all of the people of conscience who said not in our name and protested on Sunday against the war at home as well as abroad. And every time they said, U.S. out of Syria, U.S. out of Yemen, U.S. out of Iraq, U.S. out of South America, I shouted out, and U.S. out of Ferguson. Because as sure as you're born, there were tanks in Ferguson. when they came for Reverend Pinckney for simply calling for a recall, there were tanks coming down the street in front of his house. All he did was have a successful recall, and there were tanks. There were tanks when the uprisings happened in the 60s. There were tanks in New York City. I call that an army of occupation. And as we were at a conference this past weekend in St. Louis, Missouri, they are in the process of building a spy tower in St. Louis, Missouri. They can't build new housing. They can't help the people in Michigan get water, but they can build spy towers all over the United States. And I don't think spy towers are for the people of Syria or for the people of Yemen. I really don't think so. I think those spy towers are to keep us in check. And it is time that we had someone live up to that maxim. It's best, it's a good government when the government fears the people, not when the people fear the government. So without further ado, we're going to turn the mic over to Brother Larry. Once again, I'm pleased to say we have a lot of people lined up, but as always, we can't start without having our resident Black Panther give us an update on our warrior, Leonard Peltier. And you should know, if you want to understand the history of politics in this country the last four decades, you really need to look at the Black Activist Writers Guild and read the writings of Brother Larry Pinckney. It's a university. If you want a college education on the struggle in America, you should read Black Activist Writers Guild. Brother Larry, your mic is open.
Thank you so much, my sister, Professor Betty Davis. Thank you, Brother Ralph Pointer. I thank you both, and I thank the audience for listening and tuning in, and everyone else who will be on this program. Looking forward to hearing from Sister Ann Lamb. Looking forward to, you know, hearing from our resident poet, Brother Nat Turner. Look, let me just get right into this right away. First of all, as I think most people may know, or some people, my first and foremost concern is with political prisoners. Leonard Peltier is struggling. Leonard Peltier is not the only one struggling. Whether we're talking about Brother Leonard or Mumia or Seth Hayes or God Lord, I could go on endlessly. Yeah. But these are political prisoners. And what do I mean by that? They were people who stood up for us, our communities, all people, black, white, brown, red, yellow. I'm really kind of sick and tired right now of all this division that especially the Democrat, so-called Democrat Party is playing. I really don't like this. I am disgusted by it. Back in the day, and by the day, when I say back in the day, the 60s and the 70s, we talked about all power to the people. We, the Black Panther Party, the original Black Panther Party, not the so-called fake-ass so-called New Black Panther Party, the real original party, all right? And we said all power to the people, black, white, brown, red, and yellow. But now we got the Democrat Party, we got the so-called progressive, the so-called left. Hey, enough already. So let me move on. I'm talking very quickly out of respect because I know other people need to get on. All right? I want to say again with all due respect and humility that we must support our political prisoners. Come on, y'all. It ain't hard to find out about Brother Leonard Peltier or Brother Mumia, or Brother Seth Hayes, or it's not hard. Come on.
Donate.
You know, you can make donations, you can write letters, you can make phone calls. Come on, people. All right, let me move on.
from that. I have to begin with political prisoners because that's where my first love lies. But all of our struggles should be linked. All of them should be linked. Now, getting on to Syria, you know what? I don't even really want to talk about Syria because Syria is a repeat of the Gulf of Tonkin. Remember
yes.
that?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, I don't know what
yes.
I'm talking
yes,
about.
Absolutely.
The Gulf of Tonkin, Vietnam, all right, or weapons of mass destruction. Hello,
yes.
Mr.
Yeah.
Colin Powell, you piece of manure. Hello.
I remember. Yeah.
Even the USS Liberty, which I'm not a gung-ho military kind of dude, but even that, when Israel tried to start a war by involving a ship called the USS Liberty, look it up, find it out. But you know what, bottom line, so it's not just about Syria, it's about an ongoing history of deceit. And, you know, I could go on and on and on, but I'm not. I hope I'm not. The bottom line is that we really need to understand that there is a need for us to say no. No to the vomit stream media. Some people call it the mainstream media. I call it the vomit stream media. Why? Because what happens with vomit? Vomit is a regurgitation. And the mainstream, so-called mainstream media, what does it do? It regurgitates lies. New York Times, Washington Post, hey, hello, people. They were the same papers who came out against, what, the Black Panthers in New York. Well, not just in New York, okay, but all over the country, all right? But I'm talking about a specific case in New York where they tried to, where they, in fact, imprisoned, jailed Panthers and charged them with bogus charges. And now what do we have? Hey, we have the Democrat, so-called Democrat Party, talking about we love the FBI. Hello? You love the FBI? Have you ever heard of COINTELPRO, the counterintelligence program? You love Mr. Comey? You love Mr. Mueller? Get a life. Get a grip on it at least. You love the Central Intelligence Agency, which overthrew the democratically elected government of Salvador Allende in Chile.
Yep. Yep.
All right. I mean, come on, people. Let's wake up. Let's stop it. It's time for us to not only wake up, but it's time for us to grow up and say we're not going to go for this crap anymore. And believe me, I didn't want to say crap. I wanted to say the F word, but I didn't. I'm trying to be nice. You know, enough already. Enough. So I'm going to say this. I am a strong believer, in self-defense, whether it's a rock, whether it's a baseball bat, whether it's an AR-15, whether it's an AK-47, self-defense, black, white, brown, red, and yellow, we have the right, the human right to self-defense, all right? Now, I make a distinction, and with all due respect to my comrades on this program, I make a distinction between self-defense and armed struggle. Before I went to prison for 10 years, trained under COINTELPRO, I had the opportunity to spend time with my brothers and sisters in both Africa and in the so-called Middle East. And I saw what armed struggle brought about. You dig? I saw it. I saw rotting bodies. I saw disemboweled bodies. So let's be very, very careful when we use certain terms, okay? These are people that I loved and I knew, and they were African, Arab, and Jewish, all right? So, yes, we must carry on in this struggle. But let us, first of all, make sure that the struggle, as Frank Fanon said, begins in our minds. Pick up a book, for God's sake. Read
yes.
it. All right? Read it. Please understand that that's what the struggle is about. So I'm going to get off the line. All right? But I just want to say all power to the people. Let's free our political prisoners. Free them. And free them now. Free them
yes.
now. Because it is us. We, the people. We, the people.
Thank
free
you,
them.
Brother Larry.
Thank
you. That. Thank you so much. Brother Matt,
yeah.
Raymond Matt Turner is in the house, I see, and we want to welcome him and ask him for his words of wisdom. Brother Raymond Matt Turner, poet residence, your mic is open.
Okay, this poem is for one of our warrior women that has gone and joined the ancestors. That would be Sister Kilu Niyasha out in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Presente.
Yes.
Presente.
She hosted a program called Freedom is a Constant Struggle. So
yes.
This is called For Sister Kilu Niyasha. Freedom is a Constant Struggle. Never thought I'd see the day that I'd pray for fake news. Never thought I'd see the day that I'd pray for alternative facts from boss tweet. Pray that scribblers screwed up tenses, scribbling about a constant struggler. Three-time loser in America. Disabled, black, and woman, panther to the core. Ida B. Child soldier speaking, writing in real time, mentoring men and women for battlefront lives worth living. Flying warrior woman kites coded in humanity through concertina censorship. Smuggling love and hope between bars, amplifying voices. Maybe I'm selfish and don't want to let go, don't want to lose the grace, the smile, sweetly staunch as principles behind it. Maybe I'm lazy and don't want to lift her load, clicking, guiding, electric silence, whizzing down steep hills and swift traffic like little cable cars that climb halfway to the stars. Maybe her meeting after meeting, march after march, demonstration after demonstration, decade after decade, shamed my temporarily abled body to another level. Or maybe I'm afraid of losing the constant struggler, the long-distance runner, reminding me we will win.
All right.
Hey, thank you so much for that. I remember Kilu and her smiling face when she showed up in an event that Lynn Stewart was speaking at, and she showed the courage in her wheelchair to be there to welcome Lynn and to talk about the struggle for liberation. Thank you so much for that reminder. Sister Betty.
Thank you, Brother Ralph. Thank you, Brother Raymond. And we will be calling you shortly about one of your projects that you're interested in. Sister Ann, you want to bring us up to date? There is so much news out there. I didn't give the support for Mamiya calendar. If you want to, if you don't want to, I'll give it afterwards. I know you have a lot to report on, so I can report on that later on the show if you don't have
okay.
time. But go on,
that
Sister Ann,
yeah.
New York,
well,
New Jericho, is open.
Yes. As you know, thank you, Sister Betty. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Larry Pinkney, for your wonderful remarks. That is, the people should listen to what he has to say, because I feel the same way, and he expressed it so well. Well, as people know, I'm sure, today was the day that Herman Bell was to walk out the door. So, of course, that has not happened due to a bunch of unconscionable political pressure by the PBA, the COPBA, which is a correctional officer's PBA, the New York State Troopers PBA, and a whole bunch of people of their ilk. So I find it very interesting that people who are supposedly law enforcement are very upset that the parole board followed the law, right? So this just goes to show you their entire hypocrisy, you know. So we're still waiting on this judge. He has not made a decision yet. I don't know what he's dithering about. There's already a precedent. There was another case last year, John Roussas. He was released in December. He had killed a state trooper in 1974. All the same forces came out against him getting released. And when they tried to take that up to Albany, they were told, no way, you can't bring that here. You have no standing. So there's already a precedent. And as the assistant state attorney general said at the hearing on April 13th in Albany, this woman, Deanna Piergentini, has no standing to bring any sort of suit against the parole board. So what he's thinking about, I can only imagine. I'm not a patient person, and I was told I need to be patient. And I said, well, if they come out with a bad decision, you know, if they reverse this and they make him go to another board that they'll stack with people who have already ruled against him in the past, this would be an extremely, extremely bad precedent. And it would set back parole reform in the state of New York at least 20 years. So, you know, this is really, you know, really a slap in the face to everybody. So that's one thing. On the other hand, my friend Robert Seth Hayes, who we will be visiting, the death camps on Thursday. We're going up to Sullivan with Lenny Foster. Lenny Foster is Leonard Peltier's old friend and spiritual advisor. He's here for the UN Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, which takes place every year at this time. And he really wanted to meet Jaleel and Seth, and the only day he could do it is Thursday. So we will be booking up there on Thursday to visit first Jaleel and then come out and go back in and visit Seth. And I think they will be very happy to meet Lenny. He's an extremely amazing human being. He's been doing, you know, work in prisons for many years. He's a director of the Navajo Nation's Prison Project. He's reported internationally many times about U.S. human rights violations of Native peoples, especially their religious rights, especially in prisons. Very interesting person. And he will be having an event on April 23rd at NYU, which should be interesting, too, in the evening, that I think people should definitely attend. Anyway, that's one of the things we'll be doing on Thursday. So as people probably know, as we have said many times, Seth is currently without his insulin pump, which is not a good thing, because he knows when his sugars are off, but he doesn't know which way they're off. He doesn't know if they're high or low. He just knows they're not right. So that was the whole point of having the pump, the continuous glucose monitoring device, so that he could always tell which way his sugars were trending. It will actually tell you every 5 minutes when it's working properly. So that's been taken away from him since March 29th. So you see where we are now. He's been all this time without the pump. And his sugars have been fluctuating up and down. He says today they've been a little better. But part of the reason they've been a little better, and this is concerning, is that if he sees his sugars are trending high, then he tries not to eat. Seth only weighs 138 pounds.
Right? Oh, my God.
Right? So, you know, Seth used to weigh like 170. And when he developed the congestive heart failure a couple of years ago, he never gained back all the weight he lost. And he was sort of steady at 142 for a while, but now he's dropped 4 pounds. So this is concerning. And I was telling him today when I was talking to him on the phone, I said, the solution is not for you not to eat. You need to eat. Just try not to eat the things that you know you shouldn't eat. I know it's difficult. They give you white bread. They give you white pasta. They give you white rice. They give you white everything. You know, it's really bad for diabetics. Don't give you enough fresh greens. Don't give enough salads. You know, So that's part of the reason the food package, which we'll also be bringing up to him on Thursday, is really life-saving for him. We're able to bring him 35 pounds of food a month. We always select very carefully what we're going to give him. He likes certain things that we tell him, no, you can't have that at this time. And he understands that it's for his interest. But we're really encouraging people to still call because they still have not taken him to see the endocrinologist at Albany Medical Center, which was supposed to happen last month and still has not happened. So we're still having people calling up there. Call to Dr. Konigsman. He is the deputy commissioner, chief medical officer. He also doesn't believe in diabetic diets. His phone is 518-457-7073. And all the information is on jerichony.org, right on the first page. And also call Superintendent Kieser up at Sullivan Correctional Facility and demand that Robert Sethes, number 74A2280, be taken immediately to Albany Medical Center for a consult with the endocrinologist. You know, once again, they're violating Seth's constitutional and human right to adequate health care. And, of course, they're also in stark violation of United Nations Nelson Mandela rules, to which the United States is a signatory. All right? So this is real serious stuff. I mean, you know, any day that they're not actively trying to kill Seth, it's a miracle. So in between all the stuff that's going on with Herman, which is extremely important, and I would advise people, if you haven't already, you know, called the governor's office and emailed the governor's office and tweeted the governor's office, that's also right on the first page, do it. Do it. Because if the PBA is running around saying we have 367,000 signatures against parole, then we need to respond. All right? So even if you've already done it, do it again. It can't hurt. You know, watch those lovely interviews on Democracy Now! With Bob Boyle and Jose Saldana. Watch the press conference on March 23rd if you haven't done so already. Just so you know what's going on and you hear both sides, you don't just hear their side, because all we hear in the press is their side, you know, because there is no real press anymore. It's all corporate press. And let's not forget our friend Joy Powell. She still needs help. You know, they're still on her case, too, so that's also there. Another diabetic who's been put in shoe, which is against the law, and is not being given, you know, her proper food. So that's also a very serious issue. So that's several things that are going on, you know, right now that people can definitely do. Listen to what Larry Pinkney said. You know, we want to free our political prisoners now, then we got to do the work, you know. So let's get out there and make some noise, you know, and let people know. Everybody doesn't agree with you, Patrick Lynch, all right? Everybody doesn't agree with you, you know, de Blasio.
Mario Cuomo.
And Cuomo. Remember who we're not voting for, all right? We're not voting for elected officials who have come out against our political prisoners. If we're going to vote for anybody, it should be Charles Barron, who's always been there in support, all right? And if this woman Nixon wants to be governor, she better come out and make a statement in support of our political prisoners. Otherwise, she don't have my vote either. The only person I've ever been able to vote for was Cynthia McKinney, because she was clear.
Right, you know? On. And as I'll add to that, the measure of a people are their self-defense at the voting booth. Cuomo and de Blasio's political career should be over.
Yep.
We have the power to do that.
Yes,
and
we do.
The measure of a society is to look at its schools and to look at its prisons and look at the people who are responsible. That tells us who we are. And I'm sorry, Ann. Continue.
No, that was perfectly fine. No, it's just, you know, this has got me in such a swivet. You know, I was talking to Claude Marx today, former political prisoner himself, longtime supporter of political prisoners, does Freedom Archives out in California. And if people don't know about Freedom Archives, please check it out, freedomarchives.org. They have archives of movements going back for a long, long time. And it's really fascinating, fascinating history. And you can find many things that have been already digitized and some things which have not been digitized. But they're doing very tremendous work there. And Claude has been, in just the past few days, he's been in the state. He's visiting three political prisoners. He saw Jaleel yesterday. He saw Herman today. He's off to Buffalo to do a couple of events and also to see David Gilbert. And I said, oh, you're here for 7 days and you have four events and three prison visits. You're a busy man. And he said, yes, and a lot of driving, too. So, you know, we have people like
Claude
in the world, you know, and it's wonderful. You know, we have people like you guys in the world. It's fantastic. But, you know, we need to wake up all the people who have been sleeping and who have been deliberately put to sleep by this system's mind control. And, you know, people, get off the internet and get out into the streets.
Thank you, Ann. And we need to keep the pressure on. And anytime you go to an anti-war movement, make sure you carry the banner for political prisoners.
Absolutely.
Because it's not wars abroad. If we win the war at home, we can stop the wars abroad. Because
this is
empire that has its tentacles strangling the entire world. And to speak about this, we need to refer to our brother Tom. Brother Tom, your mic is open. And Sister
Thank
Gwen,
you.
Hang
Thank
in
you
there.
Very much.
Everybody's a chief.
Thank you very
Tom,
much.
Tom, your mic is open.
Yes, do you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear
yes,
me? Okay. Now,
yes, we do.
Sister Ann used the word hypocrisy. And I would say that in recent times, no country has been more hypocritical than the government of the United States. Now, Martin Luther King, he said that the greatest purveyor of violence in the world was the United States.
It is.
Now we're in a situation in Syria in which our government is claiming that it is trying to stop the use of chemical warfare supposedly perpetuated by the Assad government. And that's why we used some missiles recently in that country. I would say that the greatest purveyor of chemical warfare in recent history has been the United States.
Absolutely.
So for us to talk about the Assad regime, we make them look like pikers if it's true that they used some chemical warfare, which, of course, the Trump administration never bothered to wait a little while for the UN investigation to determine, one, if there was chemical, if there was a chemical attack by the Assad regime. And so what do I mean by the greatest purveyor of chemical warfare in recent history is the United States? Well, look what happened in Vietnam. We totally contaminated that country with Agent Orange. We destroyed their forests. We destroyed their the people of Vietnam will suffer generations from this Agent Orange chemical warfare that that we used in Vietnam. Then, after Vietnam, we supplied the Iraqi government, the Saddam Hussein government, with chemicals to use against the Iranians in the Iraqi-Iranian war. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And so it goes on.
Yes, we do.
It goes on that here are the United States, the greatest purveyor of chemical warfare, is claiming that it is trying to stop chemical warfare in Syria. Now, I make this observation. I don't believe that Trump had any interest in the question of chemical warfare in Syria, whether it exists or it doesn't exist. And why do I say that? Because before he lobbed some missiles into Syria in the last few days, he notified the Russians, and of course the Russians notified the Assad government, exactly when and where those missiles would hit. giving them plenty of time to evacuate these areas. And it turns out that those so-called warehouses that contain such things as sarin gas had already been removed by the Russians recently. So he lobbed some missiles on empty warehouses. He knew this, by the way. And he told the Russians and the Syrian government, make sure that you don't have anybody around. So the question is, the whole thing was a sham. So then now the question is, why doesn't the mass media in this country pick up on this? And, of course, the answer is because the mass media, you know, has been, with the exception of Fox News, has been lambasting the Trump administration. But ever since the Trump threw some missiles into Syria, now they're all behind Trump for that action. Trump's popularity probably reached an all-time high. So the question is, why? Why? Why did Trump decide to engage in this sham, which amounted to nothing? And the reason was to divert divert public attention to all of the scandals whirling around the Trump administration and Trump himself. And to continue this war, this atmosphere of war, and to totally confuse and the American public, which of course is not too hard to do, because the American public has bought into all of this propaganda and lies that the mass media and the government puts out. And as far as chemical warfare goes, both the Democrats and the Republicans are war criminals, because they both Johnson and then Nixon and then later on the Bushes and Clinton and Obama, they all engaged in chemical warfare, all of them. And so this whole thing is a sham. And unless we look back, unless we look underneath to the roots of all, why are we in Syria and in the Middle East in the first place?
Right. That's a good question.
100 years ago, the Western powers were not in the Middle East. This was part of the Turkish Empire, otherwise known as the Ottoman Empire. The Ottoman Empire was on the side of the Austrians and the Germans. They lost the war, and then the League of Nations, controlled by the French and the British, went in to the Middle East and carved up the Ottoman Empire. Syria and Lebanon, that went to the French, and Iraq, Jordan, Palestine, that went to the British, and later Saudi Arabia went to the Americans. We put in our own puppet regimes, and that is the root of much of what's going on today. The minute any of those regimes became anywhere nationalistic and independent, we went in there and started a war or a coup d'etat or an invasion or what have you. And so the American people, and of course, by and large, know nothing about what I'm talking about. And if you don't know the history of the United States and the Western powers in the Middle East, and I'm not even going to attempt the overall history of British, French, and American imperialism, then you won't understand anything. And it all boils down to this. multinational, international capitalism cannot exist, cannot maintain itself without a war. And that is called imperialism. Imperialism is part and parcel of capitalism. The two are completely linked at the hip. They cannot be separated. And unless we understand that,
we don't
understand anything.
Capitalism doesn't work, but imperialism has worked for a few people for a long time. Thank you so much for that. And the victims of imperialism are always the people at home and abroad. Thanks again. Sister Betty.
Okay. Sister Gwen, your mic is open. And then we're going to come back to Brother Ralph and Tom and Larry or anyone else who wants to give us a few words regarding another war of aggression and the intention of the ruling elite to have endless wars in order to keep their economy going. Sister Gwen, your mic is open.
Good evening, everybody. I just wanted to give you an update on the young man I was telling you about last week. His name is Jamal Thomas, and he is at Five Points, which is in Roman, New York, and he has been in solitary confinement for 20 years. He's already served 39 years. And so my request is that we make some calls to ask to have him transferred out of solitary confinement, because I believe this is cruel and unusual punishment. I have his prison number if anybody wants it. I'm going to go slow. It's 81A2941. So I'd appreciate it if some people could make some calls and lean on these people a little bit to let this guy out of solitary. As far as the conversation is concerned, my late husband, Peter, I think his all-time favorite movie was Lawrence of Arabia. So, Tom, I guess you can appreciate that story very much as my husband did. And I agree with you that if more people understood the history, maybe they'd know where we are today. I'm also very grateful that Tom brought up the Agent Orange, because all this week I've been listening to these dubious reports. And frankly, I don't want to believe everything I hear, because I remember before we went to Iraq that we had a woman all over the news who was showing babies that were supposedly taken out of incubators, and they were killed on the orders of Saddam Hussein. And it was found out later on that that event never actually happened. It was a hoax. And on that, we were off and running to the next war. And now we have another one in front of us. So I guess I would advise everyone that I think it's a very, very good idea to proceed with caution with all these things, although I don't think anybody's proceeding with caution. I also think it's really strange this week. I'm watching The Strangest Bedfellows. I'm listening to Tucker Carlson talking with Glenn Greenwald. I mean, in this interview, it's just the most bizarre things, because I never thought I would be seeing, you know, such right and such left sitting down together to have a conversation. But it's strange times we're living in, and it's also interesting. I think that one of the things I learned as I grew older is nothing is as black and white as you think it is. And well, this is going to sound very simplistic, but there are good ideas and bad ideas all comprised in us human beings all at the same time. I guess also after listening to all this tonight, I feel beleaguered, and I feel really exacerbated from just what's going on in the world today. I almost wanted to ask Reverend Pinckney to say a prayer for us, just to give us some hope. Because I do still think there's hope out there, and I do still think that we can change things. And I think we need to remember that when we're doing this work, because if all we ever do is focus on all the awful things, we can't realize all the wonderful things that people that are activists have accomplished. Lynn Stewart accomplished a lot in her life. I think she did beautiful work. And so she's not here with us today, and she worked very, very hard, but she made some great changes. And I think one of the things I really liked about her when I would see her on TV or I would observe her speaking is there was always an up at the end of each conversation. You know, she was very, very sobering with the facts. But I think when you heard her speak at the end, you always felt some hope. So it was a reason to keep going on. I mean, it's a terrible, I don't know if it's the worst time to be alive, but it's a scary time. I think that we really have a really crazy White House, and every day you turn it on and you feel like, you know, it's like watching a nervous breakdown in action. But I still think there's a lot of good people in the world that are doing great work. And I guess what we're going to have to do is get out there and revive the anti-war movement again. I just hope we don't get back into war. And I do think that Tom's points about the Agent Orange, we would all do well this week when other people bring up chemical weapons to talk about Agent Orange and how we use that and how many of our own people we killed in the United States when they were exposed to Agent Orange. It was a great point. So I'll just leave you with that and say prayers up to everybody.
Well, thank you so much for that, Gwen. And when you mentioned Lynn Stewart, I can only think with Trump pardoning Scooter Libby, chickens coming home to roost. And Trump's attorney, the FBI breaking into the attorney's office, and the question of attorney-client privilege comes up again, this time not with Lynn Stewart, but with the President of the United States. And the beauty of this situation is that it's a reminder. When they went in and took all of the papers from Lynn Stewart's office, there was nothing criminal. Why was there nothing criminal? Because the Landmarks case, that case that they framed Sheikh Omar on, was not a case. It was formed by the FBI, by the informant. There was no case, so there could be no evidence in anyone's office. And then the question was, did they have a right? And I love it when the attorney, Michael Tiger, said, what you found were newspaper clippings and evidence that the government had sent to Lynn Stewart, the lawyer, in the form of discovery. It happens in every case. So they says, look what we found, this information. It was the information they sent that a lawyer needs to defend her client. And again, we see the complaint, you know, attorney-client privilege. But they will find a lot there because Mr. Cohen is not only a buyer of silence by women who were oppressed by these scoundrels, but they found other stuff dealing with bank transfers, fraud, etc. And so the attorney-client privilege is very important. But now the shoe is on the other foot. These guilty guys are getting slammed by attorney-client privilege or the abuse of attorney-client privilege. And they couldn't slam Lynn Stewart. They had to make it up and say, look at this evidence. And the evidence is given by the government.
You know what?
Go ahead.
The bottom line is I think we should be concentrating. I frankly, with all due respect, my dear brother, I don't agree with you on that. But that's neither here nor there. You know, I want to tell you that Lionel, and I assume you know who he is, gave a great presentation with respect to Sister Lynn Stewart. With respect to lawyer-client privilege, the bottom line is this Mueller is as deep in nastiness, nefariousness as anyone else. In fact, he's deeper. And my point is simply this. I think we should be paying attention to the system. The system. I keep emphasizing this. The system. That's what we need to change. So I'm not going to try to defend or not defend anybody. My point is, let's change the system. So that's where I'm coming from, with all due respect, brother.
Well, we talk about the people who tried to change the system. Those are the political prisoners, the people in jail.
Exactly.
And the issues and the bogus issues that the government used to put them there. That's
and
the
it was Democrats and Republicans. It didn't matter.
They were both.
Love you, bro.
See you next week. Same time, same political freedom channel. Thanks again, everyone.